in support of Braille, Ray Wayne.
Some of you may know or have heard little bits. Barb, Margaret, and Jane, are you here? Okay, you guys decide who wants to go. Who wants to go and who wants to go first, and let me know when I call you. Some of you may know that the library, which now produces books in Braille, large print, and audio cassette, is going to be going to a new format. It's going to be a digital format. Now, the goal is to begin the conversion process in 2008. So we won't see it in action for a few more years, but it's being developed. There are prototypes being developed, and there's a committee. It is the Audio Equipment Assessment, AEAC, I think. Audio Equipment Assessment Committee or something like that. I'm on it, so I should know the name of it. The committee consists of representatives of the library, the various librarians, some technical experts, and also consumer representatives. So Tammy Dodd-Jones this year represented the NFB. The ACB president represented them. There was a rep from Blinded Vets and another organization I'm not thinking of the name of. There were also consumer representatives from some of the regions. Bob McBrien asked me and nominated me to be the consumer representative for the Northern region. And we had a three-day meeting in Washington, D.C. in September. And I was privileged to go down there. And what we did was we heard about the technology and we kind of looked at some prototypes and made a whole bunch of recommendations. And the prototype that we saw is, it's not a CD, it's a cartridge, and I would say that it's smaller than a standard audio cassette, but bigger than a micro cassette. The cartridge slips into a machine, which is a pretty small machine. I would say that also, well, there's going to be some there may be some changes in the prototype, and I'm not supposed to get into detail. You know, I'm not supposed to get into those like specific details, but let me say a few general things. It's a very small machine, smaller than, I would say the same thing, smaller than a standard audio cassette, bigger than a micro cassette player. The amazing thing is that these cartridges can hold up to 24 hours of reading material. So almost any book, maybe not War and Peace and maybe not a couple of others, are going to fit on one cartridge. So you don't have to worry about getting the tapes mixed up or changing side selector switch or changing tapes or any of that. And there's also one of the concerns about these devices are that, you know, they're sort of high tech and they're going to be difficult for some people to operate, possibly for senior citizens who've recently become blind or other people who've recently become blind or people who are blind and just are not very technically adept. I don't know anybody like that. So there are going to be two versions. There are going to be two versions of the machine. One will be kind of the easy version, which will be play, stop, forward, rewind, sleep button, which is a way to, if you fall asleep in the middle of reading, I've never done that. If you fall asleep in the middle of reading, you can, before you fall asleep, you know you're going to or might fall asleep during the reading, you can set the machine to go off after a certain amount of time so that you don't, like, you know, sleep through the whole 24-hour book. So there's going to be a sort of simpler form of machine that will be usable for, friendly to people who are maybe not as high tech. There's going to be a more complex form of the machine that will allow people who are more technically adept to have access to even more functions. to be able to do more things with the machine and with the cartridge. And at the moment, I'm blanking out on some of the specifics. But I think that's a good idea, because one of the concerns that I've heard even at the outset was people who are newly blind or older are not going to be able to operate it. Now, as I say, we made some suggestions. I think the suggestions were well received. Mr. Silkey, who's the head of NLS, came in at the end and read all the suggestions, and they're going to prepare written responses. I don't know when those are going to be out. But I think we got a good response. I think it was really a good committee. Everybody worked well together. We all listened to each other. I think we're going to meet again. I think I'm on another year. We're going to meet again in September. Probably have some corresponding in between. Let me put on. All right, who's going first? Okay, I'm going to put on Bob McBrien. Bob McBrien is the head librarian at the Andrew High School. You changed the name. Braille and Talking Book. Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library, which is also a branch of the New York City Public Library, and I'm on the Citizens Advisory Council for that. Bob McBrien.
Thank you very much, Ray. It's very, very nice to be here this morning. I'm here with my colleague, Margaret Willis. What I'd like to do is just have some follow-up comments to what Ray was talking about as far as the what's going on through the National Library Service, as well as some other developments as far as technology is concerned. Before I do that, though, I do want to thank Ray for agreeing to serve on the advisory committee of the National Library Service, and also for a number of years now serving on the Citizens Advisory Council of the Andrew Haskell Braille and Talking Book Library. He currently is the secretary of the council, and his input is invaluable to the work that we do at the library. I might also make a pitch for those of you who do live in New York City if you want your voice heard in terms of what goes on at the library, to please come to the Citizens Advisory Council meetings. They're held six times a year. They're held at the library. We mix it up between Thursday evenings when we have more sunlight during the warm months, and then we switch it to Saturday mornings later on in the year. Having said that, as Ray had mentioned, we are entering into a very, very new world as far as talking books is concerned, as well as the delivery of library services, I think, in general. We're entering into a time where talking books, starting with talking books, are going to be delivered to you via your flash memory card. We've entered into a digital environment, and with all sorts of implications as far as libraries are concerned, libraries for blind are concerned, in terms of how this is going to be delivered to you, how much space we're going to need, all sorts of questions like that, which we're slowly beginning to understand, articulate, and then begin to address. As far as the Andrew Haskell Library is concerned, in recognition of the fact that we're going to a digital environment, we have three recording studios. We'll record up to about 50 titles every year, and we are just in the process now of converting the third studio into a digital environment, which we're very, very pleased about. There's another trend going on in the library world, in addition to that provided by the National Library Service, which I think is very, very important, and that's the delivery of commercially produced books through online services of local public libraries. Speaking specifically of the New York Public Library, we recently introduced a new way of obtaining books online through Overdrive.com. I don't know if anyone has heard of Overdrive.com, but Overdrive.com is a company fairly recently established, which takes books, digitizes them, and then enables you to download those books onto your computer at home. So the way it works is you go to your local library, you see it, or from home, the catalog at home, if you have if you have a computer, you're able to select one of these, what we term e-books. You download the book to your computer, and then once it's downloaded to your computer, it can then be read in a number of different formats. So if you have a screen reader, you can read the book from your computer. You can download it to an MP3 player and listen to the book. Or you, if you have a Braille display, you can read it as a Braille in Braille. There are more and more titles that are going becoming available on eBooks, and I believe that there are more and more public libraries which are beginning to introduce this service. So in essence, what is happening is, I'm not saying that National Library Service is going to go out of business, but I don't think it's going to, but as time goes on, the choices that you have in terms of finding your reading materials is going to increase. And I think what's happening is the service is being mainstreamed. The technology is such that material is going to be available to everybody online. And there are a couple of key elements as far as you're concerned to making sure that that material continues to be accessible to you. First of all, we need to make sure that the vendors that produce the software, the vendors that produce these books, digitized books, are aware of the need of making this accessible to you. And I'm not sure how we can do that. I know that we are participating in something called InfoWise. InfoWise is a virtual reference program that there are about 10 states, 10 libraries in 10 states. And what we, by having us try to provide accessible virtual reference, there's a compelling reason. We're creating a market, in a sense, for vendors to want to develop accessible products for you. And I think that's one thing, one way to go about doing that. The other key, and what's critically important, and it was touched on and discussed already, that is the need for computer literacy and the availability of computers to people. And I think that as time goes on, I know at the Andrew Haskell Library, we do have ongoing, almost every day, we have training for people to be able to come into the library and learn how to use the various accessible software that exists. And I think that that's a critical point and a critical notion that has to happen in order for people to become computer literate and thereby gain access to this material. There was, I'm not sure if that little ditty that we listened to related to the library, was that the library song, Ray? No? I know it's in the agenda and I read it. Okay. Are all of you familiar with the library song? Okay. Okay. Well, sometimes it's wonderful that things don't change, and sometimes it's really awful that things don't change. This is a case where it's awful that things don't change. I read through the library song, and I thought, gee, this must have been written, you know, like yesterday. And then I noticed the copyright is actually 1978, and it's a situation where nothing has changed in all these years. These are the same things that I hear. I don't know what the solution is. I think that it's important that that we address this. And I think that one of the solutions might be through this technology, through the idea where material you're able to read material through your web display. I don't know, but again, it's an ongoing ongoing issue. One of the reasons that we changed our name was to emphasize the fact that it's a Braille and Talking Book Library, the importance of Braille, and we'll keep on working at it. Yes. Yes, there's going to be a long transitional period before we're fully converted to this digital format. I have a feeling, and the success of Ray's committee is going to be that people find the digital format so superior to the cassettes that, you know, people won't want to read the four track cassette books. But there's an ongoing, it's already started, conversion of the four track cassette books to digital books. But yes, the four-track cassettes and machines will be available for quite a long time, we anticipate. Yes. The mailing, for the most part, goes to users of the library. There are sort of we have used our mailing list to mail things other than things related to the library. I'll preface things my remarks with that. We have, but we do it very rarely because of the expectation of people who apply to the library for services that they're not going to get material other than the communications from the library. I know, and if there are other ways in which we can try to get the message out, we prefer to do that rather than directly mailing something to somebody who applied for something, who applied for library service. Let me rethink it through again. It's not only my decision, obviously. We can talk about it. I don't want to make a commitment right here, right now, other than to say that we can talk about it some more, certainly. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah. You'd have to go to the catalog of the, for example, of course, New York City has three library systems, not that, you know, New York City is a complicated place or anything. Commercially produced audiobooks are available in each of the three library systems in New York City, and they're accessed through the catalog of each of those library systems. So they are available. If you were to go to NYPL, New York Public Library website, for example, and go to the Leo is the catalog. Let me turn my microphone off. Is my time over?
No.
Okay. What's that? There we go. Yes, with draw. With speech? You mean with something like, yes, with draw? Yes, it does. Yes. Yes, screen reader, yes, it does. Now, your first question, let me talk to you aside and just take some notes and make sure that I understand exactly what you're looking for as far as Newsline is concerned. Okay, Newsline is our newsletter, which is available online, large print, and talking book, and so forth. Newsline or Newsline?
L-I-O-N.
Newsline, right. No. Okay. Any more questions?
Bob, are you going to be around?
Yes, I'm around for the rest of the day.
I just realized it's about 6 minutes to 12, so I want to put Jane, who's
right.
Next? Jane?
I want you to know that Margaret Willis is here as well. She's our outreach librarian from the Andrew Haskell Library, and Jane Summers is going to speak next.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys will be here to take private questions, yes? Since I didn't hear a no, I'll assume yes. Okay, Jane Summers is the director, I forgot your title, of the... Albany and a fast reader.
Fast reader,
oh my God! Maybe you come to Albany seminar. Here we go. Okay, Jane.
Thanks. Thank you, Ray. Thanks, Carl. How many of you are here at this conference for the first time? Okay. And how many here are from Westchester County or north? Okay. Hi. Well, I'm going to bring you up to date on what we're doing and offering, and then questions will have to come to us afterwards. We're serving 41,000 eligible readers in the upstate 55 counties now, and under the federal program, you know, playback equipment and books are supplied to the readers. Tybl has 19 machine sublending agencies under state contract at public library systems and blind associations where readers can get replacement cassette players quickly in upstate New York. We can always use volunteers to tell local communities about this service, by the way. We are promoting the service ourselves by sending thick packets of applications, brochures, and posters to all public libraries across all of upstate New York. These mailings follow up on our visits to our 19 machine sublending agencies. We have traveled to 7 of them in the last year and have given programs for local service providers at 2 of them. Tybl has had display booths at 8 different statewide or capital district conventions. We've had billboard displays in Erie County since July. Billboards are currently up at 3 public school locations in Erie County. The library's big mail order operation sends out about 600,000 books a year with a mechanized and automated materials handling system, as most of you know. The system is undergoing some wear and tear, and so it's getting new parts and getting retrofitted. That costs money, and we have to put the money into it. Staff inspect the cassette books for damage when they're returned. Our 6 staff who do the receiving and sending couldn't handle the work anymore without this 90-foot production line, of course. And, of course, they're handling everything twice, going out and coming back, so it's 1.5 million times they're handling items during the year. We have over 1,400 Braille readers now. We have about 115 people served up for web Braille. For Newsline, we've put it into our magazine software file so that when somebody asks for Newsline in their conversation with us on the phone, we just click it, and off it goes to Baltimore. And we're calling new readers now. Cynthia, who's here today, is a new librarian with us. We're very fortunate to have her. She's calling all our new readers and having an orientation conversation and with them. And in the course of that, one of the things we offer is Newsline. So we're on it, folks. And we've have a small and enthusiastic response, so we'll just continue that way. As you know, Braille is the means to literacy for children who are blind, and we have a very large school program, as you've heard over and over. It's just getting larger, that's all. There's 1,770 schools registered with us now, and we've got over 16,000 kids. And we're looking for ways to do outreach to what we estimate to be about 115,000 new babies every year. 7% of them in upstate New York will probably need our service. We're talking with the State Education Department. This is a major push, not from us, but from the State Education Department, to reach out to parents of new babies. But the fastest growing proportion of our readership is 85 years and older. So we are in a continual conversation with our older readers who are looking for special books or are very satisfied with subject selection. We have over 1,200 nursing homes and other institutions registered for service. This year we sent information packets to all the senior centers in upstate New York and all the ophthalmologists. Tibble's machine repair volunteers are still fixing about 300 cassette players a month. Our average age of our repair volunteers is now about 79. And we're going to need them. We're going to continue to need them. We recognize our volunteers with supplies, recognize them annually at a reception, and provide a day-long volunteer workshop for them once every two or three years. We can always use more volunteers in these groups. So if you have anyone who'd like to volunteer, please give me a call. Tibble is looking forward to the new flashcard digital book that they're going to roll out, the first machines and books in 2008. The National Library Service is moving steadily along on this 20-year plan for this new format. By 2007, the price should fall low enough on flashcards to allow the production of the books. And that's providing federal funding is available for this long-term project. Many of you will have read about the flashcard book and talking book topics, the bi-monthly catalog. They had a very good article about that, and they've continued to have articles about that. We've seen one flashcard book prototype. It's about the size of a security badge or somewhat larger and thicker than a credit card. All of our readers will be encouraged to keep their cassette players because we have over 50,000 titles in audio cassette in the Tibble collection. We're not throwing them out. Most of these books will not be available on flashcard for years to come. This is similar to the transition from recorded disc to cassette books. Remember that, some of you? Yeah. Yes, and that took 35 years. Okay? Remember, that transition, many of us have lived through here, and it was a 35-year transition. Some of the books in record format were never recorded on cassette at all. We've got a very rich and deep collection, and it's going to be staying right there for all of you, and you're all going to be keeping your cassette players, too. And we're going to repair them and replace them so that you have the formats you need, the books you need in whatever the format. State Library is offering a library card to any resident of New York State. And the State Library, you can call them or email them at the website. They offer an online catalog, Regents tests online, and they are currently offering a limited electronic books program online, which there will be much more of. So for those of you who are computer literate, you really should get your New York State Library card, too. You can call us for more information on that. Our public service point offers PC access to the research library materials and the internet and the web. So if you're in Albany, be sure to come up there and use that equipment. Scott Briggs is there to help you. Thanks for listening today. And if you'd like a tour, call our 800 number, and we'll be glad to set up a tour for you. Thanks.